All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Gary from Sussex. Thanks for waiting, Gary. Thank you very much. You say what?
Well, first of all, I respect both you guys. I like listening to when Sandy Williams is on the air with you. He's very smart. I love listening to CJ. I agree with about 99% of the things that he says. I kind of disagree with his attitude. I think he's got to learn to kind of calm it down and let people talk without talking over people. But the thing is, you know, he brought up, and I'm not calling about reparations. I'm talking about the Supreme Court. But he did bring up the thing about the reparations. And why don't you spend an hour in reparations and then let him call and talk about it? I'm challenging you on that. And I think CJ would enjoy it. Matter of fact, it'd even be better if you brought him in the studio and then the two of you guys could go at it right there in the studio. I think that would be really entertaining. And you know what? You know, I know, and Sandy knows that CJ is really good for ratings. First of all, I used to call you about, 4 or 5 years ago. I used to be the most hated conservative in Wisconsin. CJ's taken my spot, so he's it's like a tag team. And I'm kind of on the sidelines now, and he's out there in the middle of the octagon fighting for me. But as far as the Supreme Court, you know, I'm concerned with the fact that Janet Posasewicz already lent her hand out and said how she's going to vote. I mean, on her first day, she's going to try to get rid of gerrymandering. She's going to make sure that the
shouldn't people want to get rid of gerrymandering?
Yeah, the thing is, that's fine if you want to get rid of it, but you can't, as a judge, go out there and say before the trial how I'm going to rule. I mean, that's insane. That's crazy. If I listen to the United States Supreme Court people, and when they're sitting there interviewing these people, they're asking them questions. How are you going to vote on this? How are you going to vote on that? Well, they all skirt it. They all skirt it. Even though that I knew everybody else, you know, most of the conservatives want to get rid of Roe v. Wade. But they never said they're going to do it. They always skirted around it. You cannot go out there and say that this is how I'm going to rule, this is how I'm going to rule. She has to sit there and say that she's going to, you know, if she does get elected, which I doubt if she is, but if she does, she's going to have to dismiss herself from any of those rulings because she's already lend her hand out to everybody. She's tipping a scale, not with a thumb, but with a fist.
Look, I get it, man. Let me respond to the first thing first. You know, CJ may be good for, you know, radio in some, you know, interplanetary way of thinking. But trust me, I don't need CJ for, I don't need CJ for whether or not we're going to do fine on the radio show, right? I think we can do that fine without CJ. CJ is not the guy who moves the ratings of this radio show or the radio station. He just doesn't.
Actually, I have one question, Gary. You know, you talk about
Sure. The
idea of devoting an hour on the show to reparations. Reparations isn't being talked about very much. And it strikes me that asking a black candidate about what his position is on reparations is more designed to declare and remind everyone that the candidate is black than it is to talk about an issue that's ripe in everyone's mind and is a source of great concern. I mean, we aren't seeing it debated. We aren't seeing serious efforts at legislation associated with it. You know, we hear people talking about it. We hear people in the black community suggesting that it ought to occur, but it's not the issue on the front burner. And so the idea of asking a black show host to sponsor an hour on reparations strikes me as simply focusing on the notion that the show host is black or that the candidate is black, because no one else is talking about it. I go to cocktail parties or I go to places and people are talking about political issues. Nobody's talking about reparations.
Except for conservatives.
Except for conservatives who want to raise it as if it's a red flag for people to be afraid of.
It's raw meat.
But the thing is this. It's not talked about a lot, but it is.
Okay, if it's not talked about a lot, so why would
we? No, but the thing is, Earl.
Well, listen, Gary. Number one, reparations is not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. Black people understand.
I agree.
Black people, wait. Black people understand, and they know that's not going to happen in this country, right? Not in my lifetime, not in my children's. So why are we talking about it?
So, I mean, you know, to me, it strikes me, Gary, just if you think about it, I don't think you want to be a divisive person, but it strikes me that issue is designed to be divisive because it's really kind of a fictional issue. It's theoretical. There are people who wish for it. It rises to the level, I think, of wishful thinking on the part of folks who would like to see some form of justice achieved, but it's not a ripe issue. And so to bring it forward strikes me as being an effort to, like, weaponize a term, reparations, which really is not aimed at the issue of reparations. It's aimed at the issue of black and white.
Well, yeah, because it's going to create outrage among some whites who will become outraged. Well, you know, slavery happened a long time ago. And what are we talking about?
Well,
that's what that is. That's the purpose of that conversation. What?
Listen, I called up not to talk about reparations. I even said that.
Yeah, but you brought it up.
Talk about? No. I only brought it up because CJ.
I know that's my point.
Well, but wait a minute, Earl. And then you said this is the Earl Ingram show. This is not the CJ show. So I just said, well, why don't you just bring it up and put him on for an hour and let him talk about it? But I only brought that up because of the fact that you shut him down. I just wanted to talk to you guys about the Supreme Court and about Janet Posobiec tipping her thumb on the scales. That's all.
Okay, so, look. You want to talk about Judge Janet Protasiewicz, putting her thumb on the scale, but you haven't talked about Judge Bradley putting her thumb on the scale. You haven't talked about the other conservative judges.
Wait.
What do you mean? Wait, what?
Judge Kelly? You're talking about Kelly.
I didn't say Kelly.
What? You said Bradley?
Yeah. Judge Bradley. Justice Bradley. You know who she is?
No.
She's a conservative Supreme Court justice. You don't, Rebecca Bradley. You don't know who she is.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the candidates, Bradley.
No. Come on.
Yes, well, I mean, let's.
Yeah, because we got other callers.
I do think you looked at it directly, though, because you did say that everyone understood what the position was of conservative candidates for the U.S. Supreme Court on Roe, for instance, but they wouldn't answer the question. So, you know, whether someone is truthful and answers the question or whether they aren't truthful and don't answer the question, you know, you're right about judges needing to be careful about whether they tip their hand with respect to a particular case. But so, you know, I don't know whether she went beyond the boundary in terms of needing to recuse herself. But the fact is that she's taking an honest approach to presenting her position rather than a secretive one.
And the truth of the matter is, she's not a Supreme Court justice right now.
Well, I mean, people who are candidates have to be careful about playing their hand on what they're going to do. I don't think she stepped over that line, but you know, the caller is right about that issue generally. But it's kind of a disingenuous issue because at the U.S. Supreme Court level, it was the elephant in the room. Everyone knew it, and everyone just danced around it.
Garrett, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Hey, good morning, Curtis. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Chris. I love you. I love you, both of you. Listen, all I can say is my opinion is that the conservatives will call and throw talking points that they're talking about on another radio station, but they want to spin the narrative to make it look like you're going to talk about reparations. But the whole thing, the only reason why they say it is because they do. See, Sandy's right. They steer up the Republican base, and when they agitate them, they start talking about it. But the bottom line is with the Supreme Court, they had no problem. The conservatives had no problem when Trump put the three of them in office. But now all of a sudden, we want to try to balance the scale in Wisconsin. We have to balance the scale in Wisconsin because the way Scott Walker did in 2010, that right to work and all this other stuff, we have to change it back because otherwise the poor people, the working people, poor people in Wisconsin have no choice, no chance, no choice to do anything. They have to get out and vote. That's why I went door to door last weekend. But we have to get out the vote because if they don't get out and vote, I feel sorry for the next generation and the women of tomorrow.
Curtis, man, thank you very much for the call, man. I appreciate it. You know, Sandy, again, to somehow wind up having a conversation about a caller, because after all, that's what CJ is, no different than any other caller. And so the fact that, you know, he has cheerleaders and who, well, I agree with 90-some-odd% of what CJ has to say. I get it, man. I do, man. My only thing is if CJ would follow what every other caller does on the show, then I wouldn't cut CJ off. But CJ gets more than a fair opportunity to speak for a guy who never follows the directions of what it is we're talking about.
Well, you know, we talked a couple of years ago about how it was that we wished we didn't have to talk about Donald Trump all the time because he was simply talking in with notoriety, and what he wanted was notoriety. And I would simply say that we might be doing the same thing here.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Got to go to a break. Hang on the phone lines. We'll be coming back to you after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Sandy, I'm trying to get to the...
I thought you wanted to dance. It's taking a long time.
Yeah, I wanted to get to where she hits it. You don't remember this?
I do. She gets into a...
Yeah, I was trying to get to that point. I didn't know it was going to take so long. Anyway, 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Eric. Hey, Eric, how you doing, man?
Pretty well, Earl. Hello, Sandy. Hello, Earl.
Yeah, hello.
I just thought that was Bonnie Tyler.
I know who she is. I was trying to get to that place, but we didn't get there.
She kind of ups the...
Yeah. She had a cool song, I Need a Hero or something like that, too. But anyways, that was just like a two-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, that one was a great one.
I'd like to ask, you know, and I think this is a good point you brought up, both of you, about kind of over-amplifying voices on the air. And that's why it seems to me, and no offense to Sandy, but because he can be involved in this as well, but your shows where you have, like, local guests talking politics and policy and rights and things like that are by far the most engaging shows. And I'm sure you guys would agree. These ones become kind of like, you know, bashes. You get the supporters of the regressive callers, you know, the fellow regressives calling up and saying how they support or don't support this or that, and it just becomes this back and forth. My question, though, on the subject of reparations in particular, is whether any of your regressive callers support the fact that Japanese Americans were paid reparations for their internment during World War II. And if they support that or don't support that, why the change or you know, they'll obviously say, yeah, I don't support. I doubt many of them would dare say that they do not support the fact that the Japanese Americans received reparations.
So Eric, let me say this, man, because this is why I'm going to really tighten up more on CJ. I've got a whole list of things that we're going to be talking about today that was planned out. And in it was not reparations. And sure. And so when somebody like CJ calls and changes the whole subject and the plan of what we are going to be talking about on the show this morning, that I got up at 4:00 in the morning and laid out to somehow allow that to be changed by somebody who calls in is what's at the root of why it frustrates me and why I don't want to get into the whole conversation about what happened with the reparations with the Japanese of those things. Well, I know the history of that.
Well, I think it's an example. The two of us talk about, you know, we try to talk about the ways we hope we can move America in the direction of solving problems. And this is the kind of hand grenade that gets thrown into every one of the discussions where we might actually talk about child daycare, health care. We might talk about appropriate kinds of regulations, regulation by the government that works, things that are important. And then we have a hand grenade dropped in the room, which is a totally extraneous issue. And this is typical. I mean, it could be some other social issue. It could be reparations. Reparations is like a very fringe topic, very fringe topic.
Well, and that's on me because when CJ calls and does that, and I know that he's not going to stick on topic, then, you know, there's a reason why the other hosts have shut him off. And maybe that's what I'll start doing. Thank you very much for the call, Eric. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I actually did want to talk about the Supreme Court judge as well, the race, but I just wanted to say that real quickly about that. I am all for reparations in one form or another, and it's not going to be a fringe subject going forward in this nation for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I would like to say also, real quickly, regressive callers, regressive people like to talk about how the don't say gay is not in the Florida bill. The word slavery is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. to draw a parallel to that
okay.
argument is silly.
So, all right.
Quickly about the race, I wanted to say that Judge Protasiewicz was speaking out. There's a big distinction between what the Supreme Court justices do federally. You know, they're appointed, not elected. So when they go in front of the Senate, they only couch their answers so that they can get Senate votes. There's no legal repercussions, except, of course, if they voice out something and they state it, if they're going to vote a certain way. But they're elected in Wisconsin. They're not appointed. And so basically it comes down to she states her legal opinion on something when asked, and that's honest and that's honorable. If you don't like it, don't vote for her. If you like it, vote for her. I mean, it's as clear as that. There's nothing she's done. It's just they're trying to create some sort of parallel between the Supreme Court, you know, of the United States and this, but they are appointed. They're elected in Wisconsin. There is no legal issue with her saying, I support this legally, because she's a legal scholar. She understands the law, and she finds it, you know, something that should be changed. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So if you don't like it, don't vote for it, but there's no argument for the illegality of it.
Hey, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Well said, man. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond quickly? We got to go to break.
Yeah, go to break.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Guys, we'll be right back. But the phone line's lit up. So.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life. And now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. A total eclipse of the heart.
It takes too long to get into my songs.
Your songs start with certain repetitive... there we go. Now we got something going.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us. So now I got to figure out how much time in between before we actually get to the lyrics of the songs.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell them where to break into the song.
Yeah. Well, that's more work than I want to do, Sandy. Welcome back. It's the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning, Al. How you doing? You say what?
I'm doing great, and good morning to both of you. I just want to point out something that you tend to forget. You were head coach for over 20 years. You made a game plan, and some parent is in the audience yelling at you because their kid is not getting enough playing time.
Right.
Do you change your game plan? No. You go ahead and do what you plan to do. You win the game, and then all of a sudden that parent is, oh, you're the best coach in the world. I did it for 49 years. Stick with the plan, man.
Hey,
y'all have a good day.
Al, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, would you say it was well said? Right?
Yeah, well said.
Yeah,
yes.
And it needed
stick
to be said.
Stick with the plan, Stan.
Yeah. Let's go to David from Mequon. Hey, good morning, David. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, you know, in regards with the Supreme Court, I think it would be very interesting. And what makes your radio show different from all the other radio shows is that you do have diversity of thoughts. Be it conservative, liberal, moderate, you know, what have you. I do think it would be good, though. Now, you had candidate Mitchell on a couple of times. I think it would be interesting to have the other side of the aisle, be it Kelly or Daryl on your show and have your, you know, the callers call in and ask them questions, because at the end of the day, the previous caller is correct. This is an election where the people are the ones electing who's going to go on the Supreme Court in the state. It's not being, you know, handpicked by, you know, like we have in the Senate with the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court. So, that being the case, and I've actually, if I had a vote for between the two liberal justices, I'm much more impressed with Mitchell than I am with Janet Proulx Hewitt, just listening to him. That being the case, obviously, I would more than likely still vote conservative, but I think it's imperative that people do get to hear from these individuals directly because they do have an impact on all of us, on the ruins, but for the state protection.
So, David, yes. You know me, and you know that I am a person who reaches out for conservatives and Republicans.
Yep.
I don't just reach out for Democrats. I reach out to them. I give them opportunities. And they're not willing to come on these airwaves because their strength is in conservative talk radio. And you understand that because they are able to use the platforms of conservative talk radio, have been successful for conservatives. And, you know, many times I reached out to Ron Johnson. In the last election, I reached out to Tim Michaels. They're not going to come on my radio show. So, you know, and we understand why. So your point is valid, but it's not like I don't reach out to him, David.
Okay.
All right.
No, I think the people, you know, to make a really good determination, though, I think it's a shame that's the way it works. And I do know this, that the same thing kind of plays on conservative radio where, you know, I've not heard Mitchell on the conservative airways and I haven't heard Protasiewicz on the conservative airways.
But, you know, the difference is I reach out to them. They don't respond.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
I can't say for sure. Okay.
You can't say what for sure quickly, David. All right. Tom from LA, quickly, Tom. Thank you for
yeah, Earl. Not Dave, but other conservative callers that call in are so disingenuous, and they're so unbelievable because one, I think we all know where the Republicans stand on their points, and I'm sure they've talked about being what they would call pro-life, which I call pro-government's right to choose on issues. So let's stop all of this craziness with Protasiewicz or whoever, you know, telling their views. In fact, I find it kind of refreshing that they actually tell the views. So that way a person knows that they're not lying. And when they get in there, you can hold them to account, especially when it comes to things like maps. Maps is a huge thing in Wisconsin. It's the way that the conservatives have been able to take over the legislature for the past, you know, years. And you know what? That's a pretty... important thing, I think, for people to know is how you're going to, you know, are you going to do fair maps? And fair maps means that it's not going to the progressive side of the ledger. It means fair maps. Draw a square. There's a fair map. You know what I mean? Rather than having it the way they have it right now in Wisconsin. So I just hope, you know, again, if Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it. And again, they try to come in on the show and say, oh, well, what about the Democrats doing that? They're doing it. They are such they're such projectionists. I can't even take it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Likewise. You know, Sandy, so we wanted to, and you and I early on in this, we wanted to have a dialogue and a conversation about why people don't trust the government anymore, and so how did that happen? And in your assessment,
well, you know,
what happened?
Well, you know, I think this train accident, you know, the discussion after the train accident all centered around why aren't trains being regulated the way they should be? And conservatives and liberals alike were attacking the notion that they weren't properly regulated, which of course, regulation of trains is a government function for regulation, and I think what's happened is that ever since Reagan and then Grover Norquist and the general attack on government as the problem, there's been an effort to vilify government and to strip it of resources and money. And by stripping it of resources and money, these regulatory agencies have been forced to come up with streamlined forms of regulation, which basically means getting out of the way of the industries that they regulate. So we had the FAA. and the Dreamliner fiasco with Boeing, where we find out that the FAA, based on streamlining its process, had handed over to Boeing a whole bunch of testing that would, that could have been done by the government, but we said, no, we'll let the people building this aircraft test it, and then they can report to us. And then we found out after the fact that that process failed, and it actually hurt Boeing a great deal. Boeing would have been better off with rigorous testing to make sure that the Dreamliner they were building was going to work adequately instead of suffering billions of dollars of loss as the result of it. We have the vaccine problem during COVID, and we have a general erosion in confidence in the FDA. And over the years, the FDA, which regulates our food and drugs, I mean, the American market for food and drugs is the gold standard in the world, or was. The European Union is rapidly overtaking us with their form of rock-solid regulation and the belief in the trust in the regulation. But, you know, we have the leading financial markets in the world because of our financial regulation. We have the leading faith in food and drugs because of our food and drug regulation. The FAA is supposed to regulate our – we have the EPA. One of the main things that callers will talk about if they want to be very critical of business in China is they talk about the smog in Beijing and, you know, look how they're poisoning the world. Well, that's because they don't have an adequate EPA process. And yet here in America, the conservatives can't strip the EPA of its powers rapidly enough, OSHA. OSHA is there to protect workers, but it gets in the way of lots of businesses. And so there's been an ongoing effort to strip back OSHA standards. So, you know, the government is there to protect not just the things that it's protecting, but the reputation of the industries that are being regulated. And because of the failure of government, those reputations are being damaged greatly. That train in Ohio was 12,000 feet long. Clearly, there was a failure of regulation with respect to the regulation of the safety of that train. And that's a government function that failed. We can look at all kinds of things, and the mistrust of government is largely because when FEMA was unable to respond to hurricane and flooding disasters during the Bush administration because we had basically allowed FEMA to fall into disrepair in its capacity to respond. We're now watching Turkey. We can see what happens in autocratic, corrupt countries because, you know, when there's a big earthquake in Turkey, their FEMA apparatus fails inutterably.
You know, Sandy, when you talk about the train in Palestine and what took place there, the more you read about it, you realize that, you know, the regulations were eased on the company to address the braking systems because the company said it was costing them too much money. So these are the kinds of things that we're talking about. The company had politicians ease those regulations because they said the braking systems that should have been regulated and set to protect the people,
mm-hmm.
that was too much money. Here's a prime example. Big Oil's trade group allies outspent clean energy groups by a whopping 27 times with billions in ads and lobbying to keep fossil fuels flowing.
I mean,
I mean, that's the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, before we went on the air, you said, why does this happen? I said, well, because they can. You know, there are two audiences for a regulatory agency. There's the industry being regulated and there's the general public. And the industry being regulated is the audience that the regulatory agency has the most occasion to interface with, all right? They interface every day, all the time, with the industry they're regulating, and they have the possibility and the probability of getting quite cozy with them. And so it's very important to maintain an arm's length approach between the regulatory agency and the industry being regulated in order to make sure that it's adequately handled. But of course, in industry, it's very inconvenient to be regulated, and it obviously adds to expense. And so, you know, you have almost every industry that would prefer to be unregulated and prefer to be underregulated and prefer to be regulated in a manner that doesn't cost money. We should remember that automobile recalls are the result of the Consumer Product Safety Commission and regulation at the government level that have basically forced automobile manufacturers to be careful enough about the safety of their automobiles to recall them. There are all kinds of examples. And so, you know, when Tom is right, money in politics and the effect of money has, one, stripped the resources of regulatory agencies, and two, has put lots of pressure on the regulatory agencies to go easy on the industries being regulated, which, of course, is the impetus. They have the general public interest and the industry interest, and the industry doesn't clearly recognize the importance to it of being able to tell the public it's adequately regulated.
You know, Sandy, 325 or so million Americans, and we come in on the back end of all of these things, because the regulations are there to protect us, and yet we're losing out. We're losing the battle. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Yeah, I mean. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, so Donald Trump, he's the guy that just won't go away, right?
He's a bad penny.
The one thing you can say for sure about him, he has staying power, right?
He's got legs.
Yep. and so he knows, you got to give him credit, man. You said this several years ago. I remember you saying that people were talking about how dumb he was, and you said, well, he's not really.
No, I mean, he's certainly a genius, a Madison Avenue type genius. He understands how to play the strings in the PR game and to stoke up interest, right? So he's figured out interest is interest, whether it's negative or positive. So long as he's in the news every day, Donald Trump will be a factor. And he's definitely figured out, you know, only recently has he gotten to the point where he's not in the news every day.
Well, you know, Here's why we're still talking about Donald Trump. And I'm wondering if you know, because I believe Donald Trump's going to get the nomination. And there may be people who think that I'm nuts. And they're talking about Ron DeSantis. You know, and I understand why Republicans want Ron DeSantis. Because they know if Donald Trump gets the nomination, you know, there's a good chance that he's not going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can clearly point to Ron DeSantis and say, hey, this guy he's Trump-esque, you know, but he can be, you know, he's a guy who doesn't have the warts that Trump has, but he's talking like Trump. Well, if they wind up with 16 nominees like they did 6 years ago, Sandy, the reason Donald Trump became the president and got the nomination,
they were so fractionalized. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's kind of the way it's going to be now. When Nikki Haley jumps in, you can rest assured Mike Pence is going to jump in.
Oh, yeah.
You can rest assured that all these other people, I mean, even if you know you don't have a snowball's chance of hell in winning, Sandy, to run for president of the United States gives you low cachet, right?
Sure. I mean, oh, they're going to have a bunch of candidates. There's no doubt about it.
So if they got all these candidates who all get 5%, 10%, Donald Trump still has this solid 35%.
Right.
And the people in the know on the Republican side, they know that. That's their worst fear, that Donald Trump is going to get his...
I think there are plenty of Republican Party leaders, at least, who hope that this grand jury in Georgia or the Merrick Garland investigation in Washington, one of these things will turn up enough to make it impossible for Trump to run. Because I think you're right. If he runs, he's a huge problem. He could very likely get the nomination and be a more probable loser than anyone else they could run. Or he won't get the nomination, and he'll run as an independent, which, of course, he's already started that process of sort of saying, look, I'm not going to back the Republican candidate if it's not me, at least don't count on it. So he's already started to play that card.
And you and I know, and others, he's still got that 35%. They'll follow him to his grave, right? It doesn't matter. They love Donald Trump. He's their guy. They don't see anything in Donald Trump's portfolio that disqualifies him.
Well, and here's my issue with Trump, more than just the persona that Trump is that Trump, in many respects, reduces politics to the reparations discussion that we had when we got totally distracted after CJ's call for a good 45 minutes. So, you know, here on this show, we try to talk about real issues and real things that matter. And the problem is, as soon as we start talking about Trump, we don't talk about issues at all. Trump, almost his entire presidency, was able to avoid the discussion of any fundamental issue by just all of the hyperbole that Trump dealt with in foreign affairs and a love letter with Kim Jong-un and the craziness that went on kept us from, you know, the news all bit on that. It was like the chum you throw in the water to catch a fish. You know, you throw chum out there and the fish get active and then you hope they go for the bait. And as far as I'm concerned, the Trump political process is just chum. It's just chum in the water, designed for everyone to just jump and go wild over stuff that doesn't really matter. And it's allowed his base, for instance, to ignore their personal interest and to embrace the sort of social, emotional issues that Trump represents.
He still has the staying power. That's the part of it. You know, he had 4 years. And so he had 4 years, and normally those kind of people disappear. He has not. But listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Do we have a call?